translation. When one's mind is polluted, it is very difficult to remember Krishna. And when remembrance of Krishna is hampered, one's life is unproductive. A purport by Srila Prabhupada. A devotee should always be alert, keeping his mind in sanguine state so that he can always remember Lord Shri Krishna. The Shastra state, Smartavya Satatam Vishnu. In devotional life, one should always remember Lord Vishnu. Srila Sukadev Goswami also advised, Parikshit Smartavyo Nityasa. In the second canto, first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadev Goswami advised Parikshit Maharaj, Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari. Shrotavya Kirtidavya Cha Smartavya Chetabhayam. O descendant of Bharat, one who desires to be free from all miseries must hear, glorify, and also remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul, the Controller, and the Savior, all, Savior from all miseries. Bhagavatam 2.15. This is the summary of all the activities of a Vaishnava. And the same instruction is repeated here, Krishna Smiti Vinehaya Nishvala Jivan. Srila Rupa Goswami states in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Avyartha Kalatyam. A Vaishnava must be very alert not to waste even a second of his valuable lifetime. This is a symptom of a Vaishnava. But associating with pounds and shillings men or Vishaya, materialist, who are simply interested in sense gratification, pollutes one's mind and hampers such continuous remembrance of Lord Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore advised, Asat Sanga Thyag E Vaishnav Achara. A Vaishnav should behave in such a way as to never associate with non-devotees or materialists. C.C. Madhya 2287. One can avoid such association simply by always remembering Krishna within his heart. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaisi Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvasesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Krupasindubhayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siyadvaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, requesting the blessings and grace and bless of all the Vaishnavas assembled so I can speak something from the purport of Srila Prabhupada. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita is such a wonderful book. When Prabhupada was in Berkeley, and he had gone to see the preaching there in Berkeley, to see what they were doing. And he was very impressed because in Berkeley at that time, they thought of a great idea of selling prasadam. So they thought sweets, as generally students like sweets. So they started making Bengali sweets so that the devotees could sell these And along with the sweets, they were also selling Prabhupada's books. So it was a good idea. Good idea. Sell sweets. So Prabhupada came to see the preaching at Berkeley, and then when he was there, they asked Srila Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, what is your favorite Bengali sweet?" The Kalangana makes wonderful Bengali sweets here. Rasgulla, Sandesh, Rasakadam. We could, you know, and Prabhupada was fond of all the Bengali sweets. I think they say Sandesh is the king of the Bengali sweets because they make that the best. At least at K.C. Das's shop in Calcutta. As Prabhupada says, you cannot go past K.C. Das's shop without buying a rasgulla. He said that in Calcutta. He said, you must go. It's still there. The shop is still there. You can go to that shop. So anyway, what would be your favorite Bengali sweet? So they were wondering, what would Prabhupada choose? What is his favorite Bengali sweet? And you might be thinking, which one could it be? And then Prabhupada, he said, he picked up from the bookstall, and he said, Chaitanya Charitamrita is the best Bengali sweet. So we have the best Bengali sweet. Why? Because it is sweet wherever you pick it up. Whether it's Sisi Radha Gokula Nandaki. So wherever you pick up the Chaitanya Charitamrita, whether it's in the beginning, in the middle, in the end, wherever it is always sweet. Always, always sweet. So I thought Prabhupada wonderfully answered what was the favorite of his books. And as we know, there was a great marathon to complete this entire book. So we are continuing in this verse from the chapter is entitled Expansions of Advaitacharya. And this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking. And he is instructing Kamala Kanta Vishwas. Kamala Kanta Vishwas is the secretary or the servant of Advaitacharya. And he's speaking these words to him. And yesterday, if you missed yesterday's class, Lord Chaitanya had said to Kamala Kanta Vishwas, Advaita Acharya, my spiritual master, should never accept charity from rich men or kings, because if a spiritual master accepts money or grains from such materialists, his mind becomes polluted. Deep instructions here. So Kamala Kanta Vishwas, if you remember, he had written a note to the king of Puri, King Patraparudra, who was also a devotee. And he had written in this note to him that Advaitacharya is the personality of Godhead. But he has a debt of 300 rupees to your kingdom. Can you please absolve him of this debt? So when somehow this note was sent to King Patraparudra, but came to the attention of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's God after all. So he doesn't have to see the physical note, but it came to his attention. And when he saw this note, he said, from now on, I do not want to see Kamala Kanta Vishwas. Do not bring him in my assembly at all. So Kamala Kanta became very distraught. He said, why the Lord has rejected me? So Advaitacharya, he sort of tried to pacify him. You know, whenever somebody gets bad news, you always try to pacify them. Isn't that life? Isn't it? You always meet people that have got bad news, whether it's in their work, whether it's in their family, or whether it's in their spiritual life. There is always bad news. So we have to console them. So Advaitacharya, he's showing a great example of devotee care here, seeing that we have the personalities of devotee care here. He said, I have to pacify him. He didn't say, well, bad luck. I mean, what can I say? He doesn't want to see you, you know. It's God, after all. I mean, I can't control anything. So, you know, he said, no. Your situation is far greater than mine. And then he gave him all the examples. He said, Mukunda was rejected by Chaitanya. I was rejected and I had to, in fact, I was never rejected, but I had to pretend to be a Mayavadi. And I was teaching Vashishta so that Chaitanya finally came and he kicked me. So I got his blessings. But you are far greater. And Kamala Vishwa said, how is that? He said, because he has totally rejected you. He said, this is the greatness of Chaitanya. He said, if I could get such a benediction from the Lord. Anyway, so from there, he somehow, then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard about this, he immediately called on Kamala Vishwas to come before him. He said, because Advaita Acharya is pacifying you, I must come before, you must come before me. So these are the verses now that he is speaking to him. These are the verses that when he said, Advaita Acharya is my spiritual master. And today he's saying, when one's mind is polluted, it's very difficult to remember Krishna. And when remembrance of Krishna is hampered, one's life is unproductive. That's an interesting principle, and one's life becomes unproductive. We often tend to think there must be so many reasons my life is unproductive, whether it's at work, whether it's in our family, or whether it's in our spiritual life. And here, Prabhupada is just saying, or at least Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is saying, that life becomes unproductive when remembrance of Krishna is hampered. So I think that's an amazing solution, that we always forget about that. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, as we know, at the beginning it is said that when one remembers Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, the most difficult thing will become very easy. And when you forget Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, the simplest thing will become very difficult. So it's an interesting principle that's being given here. And Sutta Prabhu, just speaking a while back, he was speaking about the fact that our life is just like Kamalakanta Vishwas. Why? Because our position is that we believe in Krishna, but we act in such a way as if Krishna is not God. Although we may believe in Krishna, but we act in so many situations. We may not act according to the codes of conduct of Vaishnavas. We may lose faith in the Vaishnavas or Krishna. So we are just like Kamala. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to chastise Kamalakanta Vishwas, that on one hand you're saying he's God, and then you're reducing him down to Daridra Narayan, that is poverty stricken, that he cannot pay 300 rupees. And 300 rupees must have been a lot of money at that time. Yes, maybe, I don't know what the inflation would be, 500 years to now, it must be a lot. A lot, 300 rupees was a lot of money at that time. So so our position is like that. And in the purport, I just noted down this morning, looking at the verse, that Prabhupada mentions four things. And I'd like to briefly look at these four things. First of all, he mentions about glorifying the Lord from the, and he uses the verse from the Bhagavatam 2.1.5. And then within the purport, he speaks about time, how time should not be wasted. The third thing we'll explore today is the workings of the mind, which is mentioned within the purport. And finally, Prabhupada ends the purport with Asat Sanga Tyag E Vaishnavachar, avoiding bad association. So we'll try to briefly look at these four things this morning from this purport. The first thing is to glorify the Lord, as we saw from that verse of the Bhagavatam 2.1.5. And I thought that was amazing. The purport to that verse contains, and even today's purport says, that this is the summary of the activities of a Vaishnava. So we might be wondering, what are we meant to be doing? So Prabhupada says, this is the summary of all the activities of a Vaishnava. And he says, what are the summary? Shrotavya, to hear about Krishna. And hopefully that's what you're all doing there this morning. We're hearing about Krishna. Kirtitavya, to glorify Krishna. And hopefully that's what I'm trying to do this morning, to glorify. And finally, Prabhupada uses in the purport the word smartavya, which means that if we try to hear and if we try to glorify, then throughout the day we should be able to remember Krishna. And this is the summary of all the activities of a Vaishnava. Now, we may wonder, if it is as simple as that, why when I leave this room for the rest of Sunday, it will not happen to me? Why is it that it won't happen to me? Well, it happens to me all the time. As soon as I leave the building or any time, I tend to forget Krishna. So there was, in the purport actually, interestingly, to this verse 215, this is what it says. Therefore one should first of all hear about the Lord. When one has perfectly and scrutinizingly heard, one must glorify his acts and deeds. And thus, it will become possible to remember constantly the transcendental nature of the Lord. Hearing about and glorifying the Lord are identical with the transcendental nature of the Lord. And by doing so, one will become in the association of the Lord. This brings freedom from all sorts of fear. So, this hearing, chanting and remembering will bring us in a state of freedom of from all sorts of fear. So why is it that we forget this during the day? There was an interesting, it's always to bring in a quick story 10 minutes into the class, because generally my attention goes after 10 minutes. So I always think, I've got to have a story now, because I'm sure people are falling asleep. So there was a famous Australian cricketer, captain. His name was Ricky Ben Poynting, captain of Australian cricket. Anyone remember him? Good batsman, good batsman. And he was asked a question, which I thought is interesting to this question that we asked. How is it that we know the solution, but we forget? How is it that we forget? And he was asked the same question. How do you manage to drive the ball exactly where it should go? He'd got the boundaries all the time. And he gave an interesting answer. And he said the following, which I thought was interesting. He said, many times our bad attitude is because we focus on negativity in people. Interesting thing he says. He said that when most people are batting, they are trying to analyze the field and they see the fielders everywhere. Good cricket fans in front of me here. And then they know where not to hit the ball. Right? So they're analyzing and they say, well, this is where the players are. This is where I don't hit the ball. So interestingly, he said that, most people, their attitude is that they focus on negativity. He said when he sees the pitch, he sees the gaps in between. He sees the gaps in between the play. He doesn't see the players. He sees all the gaps in between. And that's where he hits the ball. So I thought that was a very interesting analogy for us today. As a great Christian theologian once said, obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. We tend to give many names to who said that, but actually it's a Christian theologian who said it. From the Mormon church, I believe. He said, Methodist church. He said, obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. So throughout the day, why is it that we are not able to focus on Krishna is because we're seeing all the obstacles, but we're not seeing Krishna. in our relationships, in our workplace, in the temples, we are missing on that principle. And that's a very, very important thing for each one of us here to try and focus on. And we can remember Ricky pointing now. Don't focus on the players. Focus on the gaps. Focus on the gaps. You know, the power of hearing and chanting, as this verse speaks about, is really tremendous. On 25th of August, 1995, there was a very interesting program on Moscow TV. Why? Because the 18th of August of that same year was Janmashtami. And the devotees had done a massive Harinam in Moscow. Whole day, hearing and chanting. So a few days later, on the 25th, Moscow TV came out with something amazing had happened in the city that had not happened in the last 70 years in Moscow. And they reported that on that day, on the 18th of August, not a single instance of murder, rape, or crime had been reported in the 80 police stations in Moscow. And they were trying to figure out how could it be. And then they connected it that the Hare Krishnas were chanting all day throughout the entire city. And they said perhaps that had something to do with it. Of course, they said maybe it scared away all the criminals. Now imagine Moscow with a population of 10 million. That's more than London. With an average of 80 murders a day. That on the 18th of August, there was nothing. So this is the power of hearing and chanting. Hearing and chanting, imagine that. It's an immense principle. The second thing we'll look at now is Prabhupada speaks about time. Vaishnava is expert in utilizing his time. And Prabhupada was so expert, isn't it? Prabhupada, and if you look at our acharya, so expert. Prabhupada, when he was staying here upstairs in these quarters, every day at midnight he would get up. And from midnight till 4 in the morning, he was translating so many books. So many books. And it was upstairs here that he once woke up Shruti Kirti at 2 in the morning. And Shruti Kirti thought something is wrong with Prabhupada. He normally never calls me at 2 in the morning. Between 12 and 4, he's just translating his books. And then he showed him the Bhagavad Gita and he said to him that this book is absolutely amazing. And he thought, oh wow, Prabhupada. He said, yes, yes, I know that. It is absolutely amazing. And then he said, is there anything else, Prabhupada, I can do for you? And he said, no, I just wanted you to know that. That this Bhagavad Gita is most amazing. So, Prabhupada, at 2 in the morning, is thinking like this. And many times, Prabhupada, Shruti Kirti mentions that it was here, perhaps it was here, he mentions that twice his secretary noted that nothing was dictated. Not one word was dictated. So then, Shruti Kirti, he asked Prabhupada, he said, for 2 days, are you okay, Prabhupada? Not one word has been translated. And he said, I have been thinking all night, what is the one word I should use that will enthuse the people of the age of Kali to take up Krishna consciousness? So imagine, 2 whole nights have gone into one word. So when we open the book sometimes, we think, oh, let's quickly browse through it. And Prabhupada is taking 2 whole nights to think about one word that would enthuse anyone. Chanakya, he in his Niti, he speaks about Ayusha shan ekopi nalabai shannakotabi, which means that even if you have all the gold coins in this world, you cannot purchase one Ayusha, 1 second of your life. How precious time is when we're, you know, often people say, when you see them, they're on the mobile phone. Everyone's just on the phone, isn't it now? Wherever you go. On the street, walking, in the car, in the same house, isn't it? Everyone is on the phone. And there's a famous saying that you used to have before, you know, when you ask people, what are you doing? They said, I'm killing time. Isn't it? But actually, time is killing them because we're wasting our time. So Chanakya is just reminding us of that principle, that actually, even a moment, and Vaishnava is so expert that he wants to use every moment in the service of Krishna. There's an interesting story about this not wasting of our time. And there's a great story of a great sage by the name of Lomasa Rishi. Where's another place you hear about Lomasa Rishi? Anyone remember? Ajamil. Remember? He had this itching disease. So he came to Ajamil. So Lomasa Rishi, he had a benediction. And his benediction was interesting, that he would only die when all the hairs on his body fell off. Great benediction to have, you might think. And the second benediction that he had was that each one of his hairs would only fall once in the day of Brahma. What's a day of Brahma? Sahasra yuga pariyantam ahariyad brahmano vidu. We have 4 yugas, makes up a Divya Yuga. 1,000 Divya Yugas is 12 hours of Brahma. And another 1,000 is the night of Brahma. That's one day of Brahma. So that's what it takes for one hair to fall off from Lomasa Rishi's body. And Lomasa Rishi was a very hairy person as well. You know these sages, lots of hair everywhere. Various. You can imagine how long he would live. Imagine that. So Lomasa Rishi, he at that time, he was sitting in deep meditation near the Ganga. And Lomasa Rishi's disciples were seeing this. So they started building a bhajan kutir for him. Because they said it's very hot, it rained, so many things happened. So above him, they started building this kutir. And he was in deep contemplation. And then he woke up. And he said, what are you all doing? They said, Guru Maharaj, we are constructing a small kutir for you. And he said, well, nobody even asked me. Nobody even asked me. Isn't it like Taman Krishna Maharaj? He once was very tired before a very big program. So he said, let me take a little rest and wake me up before the program. So when he went to sleep, he was resting very peacefully. And the program began. So the disciples of Taman Krishna Maharaj in Houston, they all started singing, thinking, well, the guru is sleeping now. What do we do? And then there was a debate. And then they started looking through all of Prabhupada's books. Can you wake up the guru? Is it an offense to wake up the guru? And they couldn't come to a conclusion. And the debate went on for a couple of hours. The program was finished. And Maharaj woke up. And he said, why didn't anybody get me up? They said, well, we were looking through all the books because we couldn't figure out whether you can wake up a guru or not when he's sleeping. Of course, you can imagine what he said. He was always very strong in his word, so he looked very sternly at all of them, and he couldn't believe him. He couldn't believe it. He said, you were looking through the books to find out if you can wake me up. So anyway, Lomasa Rishi said, you didn't ask me whether you should build this structure. And he replied to all of them, he said, don't build this. He said, life is too short to worry about these things. Utilize your life in self-realization. You know, what to speak of our short life. Lomasa Rishi is living so long, and he's saying, don't bother with these things. house because life is too short. And we may be thinking, my God, we thought these were the important things. Time actually is the greatest conqueror. You know, there's a great Italian proverb. It's always good to switch to another philosophy. Keeps everyone awake again. Great, great Italian proverb. Once the game is over, both the king and the pawn go back in the same box. Once the chess game is over, both the king and the pawn go back in the same box. We're all equal. Only time is separating us from being no one. So, and time is such a thing that if you look at Indian history, we don't generally quote him, but Aurangzeb, tyrant ruler, I don't know how many years he ruled, but one of the great conquerors, richest person on the planet. Yet the last 25 years, he was, at least the biographies I saw speak about the fact of a great tragedy in his life. And Sundar Govind can correct us, historian of India, he can tell us if this is correct. At the age of 89, he was very ill and he was helpless. Because what had happened in the last 25 years is that he had used his entire wealth in fighting wars and conquering places which were not successful. So his kingdom had fallen apart. So he was wondering what had happened. So as he was lamenting, and before his death, he was in the arms of his son, Azam. And he said the following. He said, I came alone and I go as a stranger. And I do not even know who I am and what I have been doing. So Aurangzeb. I came alone and I go as a stranger. I don't even know who I am. Nor do I know what I've been doing. Or pilfering the world, but he said he doesn't know why and what he was doing. So it's interesting that even from that perspective, time is a very interesting... He left behind an entire kingdom that collapsed as soon as he left, like a deck of cards. As soon as he left, everything was gone. I believe that there are two forces that control us in this world, and you find that always in the Bhagavatam. These two forces are always being spoken of. The first one, you can't avoid. And the second one, you can avoid. Always good to have a riddle. The first one you can't avoid, we're just speaking about now, time. Time. You can't avoid it. Whoever we are, whatever we do, time is the greatest, as they say in footballer, as they say in football, the time is the greatest equalizer. Time is the greatest equalizer. The mighty, the powerful of this world, they become humbled. What did they say in English? Time and tide wait for no man. The great King Canute, he thought he could control the tide. So he said, tie me up to a chair and put me on the shore of the ocean. And he said, I will show you that I can control the tide. And he ordered the tide to stop. And the tide kept coming and he obviously got his feet wet. And what to speak of coming up and more up, he couldn't control the tide. So that's where that saying comes from. If you wondered where it ever came from, it's from King Canute. Time and tide wait for no man. They don't wait for any of us. Vaishnavas, whoever we are, they don't wait for us. And the second principle, which we can control, spoke about two forces, yes? Two forces. The first one is time, and the second force is illusion. Illusion. And this is the one we can control. although we are controlled at every moment of life, and we're coming closer to death, ahankar vimutatma kartam iti manyate. The false ego doesn't allow us to become freed from this illusion of aham mameti, me and mine. It's not possible. But we can, we can. Isn't it Yudhishthira Maharaj who speaks about when he was asked by the yaksha, kim aschara ataparam, what is the most amazing thing in this world? And you know, we can think of so many things. And he said, ahanyahani bhutani gachantihi yamaliyam. That although everyone can see that everyone is going to the abode of Yamaraj, we can see that before us so many devotees, you know, previously when we joined in the 70s, we'd never hear about death. And we thought that's what it means, that devotees are deathless, because no one will die. We seriously thought like this. We seriously thought that none of us will die, because we never heard about death. No one ever died in the movement. And here Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying and reminding us that even all of us as devotees now are hearing every other month or week that somebody's passed away, because everyone's got to their 60s and 70s. So we're realizing, my God, I'm simply on that conveyor belt. I'm simply on that conveyor belt. Isn't it, as I often say, you know, each one of us, we've got our boarding passes. It's simply when the flight arrives. If you fly, you know, you wait in the what's known as the transit lounge. Anyone waited in the transit lounge for a long time? 6 hours or something. You know, so this material world is simply a transit lounge. You've got your boarding pass. It just depends which airlines you booked with. If it's Air India, you could be a while there. There could be delays. British Airways seems to be on time. Whichever, what you've got to catch that flight. But unfortunately, what's happened is that whilst we were in the transit lounge, and this is the principle of illusion, that some of us thought, let's open a business. Somebody thought, let's get married. Somebody said, let's open a school and let's get going. And somebody thought, well, we've got to get on with life and let's have some friends and neighbors. And not knowing that, as time and tide wait for no man, that we'll have to leave it all behind. When that flight comes, you can't say, wait a minute, we've just built a school, or we've just bought a second house, or it's all gone. Oh God, transit lounge, transit lounge. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, he speaks about this, that all of us, we're trapped by time. Ironically, time, it strips us of all our possessions and positions. Interesting word. It strips us of all our possessions and positions, the two P's. These are the things we are in illusion about. Our possessions, and whatever position we have. Even the pauper is proud of his penny. So this point is being made. And how do we become freed from illusion, Prabhupada, in this purport as given? Smartavya, kirtitavya, smartavya, remembering, chanting. And I was just reading some figures the other day of this illusion that the most advanced countries in the world are, it's still USA, because everything comes out in USA first, whatever gadget, items, they're tested out there. And number two is, anyone know? Japan. Still they're saying it's the most advanced in what they have, what they don't have. But you know, the highest suicide rates in the world are in USA and Japan. And 70% of marriages in the US end up in divorce in the first 3 years. So, the advancement that we speak about. You know, material life is compared to a nice analogy I once heard. I don't know who it was. I think it was one of these poets. He wrote about it. And he said, material life is like buying the most beautiful painting. Anybody like paintings here? Everybody loves painting on their wall, isn't it? We think of Radha and Krishna paintings. So he says, material life is like buying the most beautiful painting, but you know what the price is you have to pay? Your two eyes. The price for that painting is that you have to give up your two eyes. Meaning, it's amazing painting, but you can't see it. If you buy it, you can't see it because the price is you have to give your two eyes. I forget which poet speaks about that. Maybe it's William Ward, he speaks on that. Interesting. It's straight out of the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Practically, maybe he was reading the Bhagavatam. Material life is like that. That the price you have to pay is your two eyes. That it's a beautiful painting. That's, we always wanted it, but you'll never be able to see it because you have to give your two eyes as the price. The third thing we want to speak about, and I'll speed up because there were five things. Let's see if we get through them. The third thing was Prabhupada speaks about in this purport is the mind. And as Krishna in the Gita speaks about, you know, you can deliver yourself with the help of the mind, or you can degrade yourself. Just like right now, your mind is telling you, very soon it will be prasadam, I hope. When will he end this class? So the mind is like that. Isn't it? Atma hi atmano bandur atma ripur atmanaha. The controlled mind is the best of friends. And the uncontrolled mind is the worst enemy. And there was a great poet, John Milton. You can see I read so many other things about from the Bhagavatam. John Milton. He says an amazing thing. He says that the mind can make heaven into hell and hell into heaven. It's all the mind. Why am I in hell? Because it's the mind. Why am I in heaven? It's the mind. John Milton speaks of that. And whether it's the Niti Shastra somewhere, I'm not sure, but it speaks about the mind and it gives the example of how the mind is like a monkey. You know, can you control a monkey? Can a monkey sit in the Bhagavatam class? There'll be chaos here. Isn't it? You cannot have a monkey sit in the Bhagavatam class. There'll be madness. It'll be on the chandeliers. You know, it'll be running everywhere. So you cannot control a monkey. But imagine if the monkey was drunk. It's Niti Shastra. So this is from the Niti, I forget the Sanskrit, but it goes on to speak about the fact that imagine if the monkey is now drunk. It's already uncontrolled. So the Niti Shastra says that this is the mind. But it goes on further. Not only is the monkey drunk, but it has been bitten by a scorpion. Now can you imagine the state of that monkey? Not only is he swinging from the chandeliers, he's probably taken my mic and he's run off with it somewhere. And then, it doesn't end there, friends. Not only is it drunk, not only has it been bitten by the scorpion, but the monkey has been haunted by ghosts. Can you imagine the state of that monkey? So the Niti Shastra says this is our mind. So next time you have difficulties with your mind, try and relate it to these four things. Drunk, bitten by a scorpion, and haunted by ghosts. So how do we control the mind? Is the big question. And there are hundreds of things, but I just came out with five things which Krishna speaks about. Abhyasena tukondeya vairagena cha grijyate. That by practice and detachment. This is very important. And to the degree we develop attachment to Krishna, to that degree we develop detachment from this material world. Simple as that. It's, if you want to know what's the barometer of where you're at, Prabhupada says, to the degree you're attached to Krishna, to that degree you'll be detached from this world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his writings, he speaks about that the only sadhana for a devotee is chanting the holy name. He says all the other limbs are simply supportive to that chanting. Interesting, he speaks on that principle, that everything else, and hence, abhyashena, to kondeya. The second way to control the mind is to engage the same senses which are getting us into difficulty in the service of the Lord. And Ambarish Maharaj is the great example of this, whereby he engages all the senses in the service of the Lord. Third way, I thought, how you control the mind, spiritual intelligence. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when I was just looking up some works of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he mentions two types of intelligence. And he says the first one is called mundane intelligence. And he says that when we discriminate between good and bad under the dictations of the mind, this is called mundane intelligence. And he says the other intelligence is called spiritual intelligence, when we discriminate between good and bad under the dictations of the soul. He calls that spiritual intelligence. Interesting definition. Material intelligence, and hence, Krishna in the Gita speaks about that the intelligence must be constantly sharpened by transcendental knowledge in order to place it directly under the control of the soul. Prabhupada uses an amazing line in this principle about transcendental knowledge. He says, because often we may wonder, why should I read? So Prabhupada speaks about transcendental knowledge, and he says, transcendental knowledge will give the strength to the mind and intelligence to say no when it is time to say no. Because if you often wonder, why is it that when temptations come, I'm not able to say no? So Prabhupada says, transcendental knowledge will give that strength to the mind and intelligence. So when you're just reading, you think, why am I just reading? It's giving strength. Of course, not just reading. The whole morning program is about transcendental knowledge. That it gives us the strength to say no when it is time to say no. But you know, even very elevated individuals, they often don't always have spiritual intelligence. You know, we get stopped. We get stifled. And within the Ramayana, the example is given of Dasarath. You know, very elevated person, amazing person, and he was thinking that let me go and tell the citizens that I want to hand over the kingdom to Lord Ram now. So he went and he inquired from all the ministers and the citizens of Ayodhya. And he said to all of them, I want to know your opinion. Should I hand over this kingdom to Ram? And you know, he'd been ruling for 1,000 years. And he thought, you know, when I asked them all, you know, if imagine if you've been the temple president for 1,000 years. And you think, let me ask everyone, could they do with a new person that can be the temple president? And he thought, I'm sure they'll say, no, 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 you're doing a great job. Don't step down. You should stay where you are. How can we replace you? By the way, they don't say that in this temple. And if there is a successor, please write to me immediately. So anyway, he's saying this to all the citizens. And as soon as Dasarath spoke these words to the thousands assembled there, they responded in three words. They said, Ichha Mam, Mahabahum Raghuveer. All together, they just chanted these three words. What does it mean? He said, Ichha Nam means we want it. And he thought, my God. Mahabahum, which means Ram, we want Lord Ram. And why Raghuveer? Because he's the most powerful king. So he heard these three words and he was taken back. And he thought, wow, how can they say this? Have I been that bad a king? So he for a moment, the commentaries on the Ramayana, different commentaries, they speak about the fact that Dasharatha let go of his intelligence. And he had to catch it there and then. He had to catch it there and then. And think, wait a minute, why am I feeling like this? So it's interesting that we're, whatever position we may be in, when we're asked to step down, the intelligence has to be under control. It has to be sharpened. And in fact, at that time, one citizen got up and told Dasharatha, he said, you get down now and let Ram become the king immediately. Let's not even have a conversation. So he thought, my God. He said, he didn't expect such a disastrous opinion. And you know, life is like that. You know, whether it's in our temple life, our spiritual life, often there are disastrous opinions that may come our way. And they asked, and he said, have I been such a bad king? And they, you know what they said to him? Your only disqualification is that you have Lord Ram as your son. That's your only disqualification, because how can we? And then another citizen, he said to him, he said, just like a cow, when it gives birth to twins, the cow doesn't know which calf to focus on. So now we have twins. We have Dasharatha and we have Ram, and we don't know which one to focus on. So of course, then they said, we want both of you. And then he became appeased. So another good tactics in devotee care there now. Good principle that when someone is faced with such things, you have to come to some mediation. We want both of you, they said. And you know what happened? Dasharatha became very happy from within when he heard this. From being an insecure king, he became a secure father. His fatherly pride came up. At least my son is the king now. Interesting that pride comes up even at that stage. Another last two ways how we can control the mind. Higher taste. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina. Rasavajam rasupiyasya. And we know of this, that you can only give up apples if you are eating mangoes every day. And it's the mango season in India. And the government have not stopped the mangoes from coming in this year. We're okay. So when you eat mangoes, you think, I'm not going to eat anything else, because it is so amazing. So when you have a higher taste, you may be tempted by so many other things. You know, if upstairs in the ashram, if you've got beautiful Alfonso mangoes, and they've got apples, pears, and grapes, everyone is just going to eat the mangoes. So if you've tasted the mango, if you've tasted something very high, so of course that's a standard principle. And finally, the last item I came out with, how to control the mind, by Krishna's mercy. You can try all of these things and it doesn't work. Often you say, I've tried all of these things, only Krishna's mercy works. And Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he speaks about what is the attitude we must have to cultivate or invoke the mercy of Krishna. Anyone know? What is the attitude you must have to invoke the mercy of Krishna? Trinarapi sunichina, tarorvish, humility and tolerance. These are the qualities you need to invoke the mercy of Krishna. And by that mercy then, you'll be able to control your mind. Roosevelt, American Prime Minister, he said something interesting. He said, men are not prisoners of fate, but prisoners of their own mind. Men are not prisoners of fate. Often we think this is just my fate. But actually we're prisoners of our own mind. Isn't it? Every morning when we are about to begin the japa period, for me the to-do list comes up in my mind. To-do list. Isn't it? Anyone got a to-do list? It comes up in my mind. And it only comes up in the japa period actually. And you know what's really amazing? All those important things that come up in your japa period and seem extremely important, by the end of the japa period, they fizzle out and are not important anymore. Because after deity greetings, the to-do list is not there anymore. But it was there during the japa period. The important things were there during the japa period. But they all fizzle away. So only when we're chanting do we find that's there. Let me see. We'll just go on a few more minutes. And the other thing Prabhupada speaks about is asatsanga tyaga. And he quotes the verse asatsanga tyaga vaishnavacha, that a Vaishnava should always avoid the company of ordinary people. And common people are materially attached. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was asked by a householder, and he was asked, what is the standard of a devotee? And he answered by this verse, Atsatsanga Tyage Vaishnavacha, which means that a Vaishnava devotee, his first behavior is that he should give up unwanted association. I use the word unwanted, because we associate with so many people, we should see what's unwanted. And the second thing is, that's asked, of course, is, what is unwanted association? So, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, Asat Sangha, Striya Sangha Krishna, Bhakti Ara, which means that people who are too addicted to material life, this is unwanted association. If they're too addicted to material life, then they'll influence us. Generally, what are the ways people relax nowadays in this world? Because asatsanga, tyage vaishnava, we're associating with so many people. Four ways how people relax nowadays. Anyone, how do you all relax? This is relaxing. Hearing and chanting for us. What are the four ways you relax? Well, the survey which had it was the first and foremost way people relax is screen time. Whether it's a movie, whether it's the TV, whether it's Facebook, whether it's on your phone, this is how most people relax. Second one, sleep. You just go to sleep. Third one, intoxication. Isn't it after work, everyone meets at the pub? And fourth one, holiday. 1 week away from whatever you do in life. But all of these items are all about escaping from this world. Whether it's the screen or the TV, isn't it? You forget who you are. Whether it's sleep, you forget who you are. Intoxication, you definitely forget who you are. And holiday, you try to forget who you are. So Krishna, of course, is reminding us, Asat Sangha Tyage Vaishnavacha. This is interesting that Burijan Prabhu speaks about this, Asat Sangha Tyag. And Prabhupada says the following in his book called My Glorious Master, is it? My Glorious Master. So Prabhupada says the following. He says, man is by nature social. If you do not make friendship with the devotees, you'll be forced to associate with someone. that will be forced by material nature. If you do not associate with devotees, you will make friendship with the non-devotees. If you make friendship with non-devotees, Prabhupada paused as he spoke, you will not be able to follow the rules and regulations. Interesting to this verse, at Satsangatyag, Prabhupada speaks of this. That if you find that you're not able to follow the rules and regulations, you're too much associating with worldly people. Worldly people. And what is this Asatsangatyag? Kapila Dev in his teaching says that this is the influence of Asatsangatyag. He says, by associating with worldly people, one becomes devoid of truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, gravity, spiritual intelligence, shyness, austerity, fame, forgiveness, control of the mind, control of the senses, and fortunate on all opportunities. Kapila Dev says that this will happen to you. And we see that the examples are right in front of us. Ajamil, who else can you think of? Bilva Mangal Thakur, isn't it? Kaikeyi Mantra, isn't it? All of these things. And Prabhupada, when the devotees in the early days, they were asking Prabhupada that we're going to a nightclub to preach. Now, where will we take this verse? Asatsangatyage Vaishnavacha. So they said, Prabhupada, we're going, because they would go all night to nightclubs and preach in the early days. So Prabhupada said, don't forget to come back. Don't forget to come back. So it's interesting on that principle. And you know, we may go and ending here now, because the time is gone. Ending here that, you know, you can see the story of Hayagriva Prabhu, who had come in touch with Krishna consciousness, who was probably one of these individuals who went to the nightclubs. And he definitely came back, but in due course of time, he went away from the devotional association. And when he came back, I'm trying to bring it back to the original verse now, Kamala Kanta Vishwas. So, he'd gone away for many years, and when he came back, he had contracted cancer. And when he came back to the care of devotees, he was so happy, and he was so remorseful that his remorse was that, why did I leave the association of devotees? Time and tide wait for no man, even devotees. So I think Radhanath Swami was speaking to him, and he mentions to him that I had reached such a stage, he said, even now I'm thinking. He said, just before I came here, I was thinking that there was no God. He said, if God existed, why am I suffering so much? And he said, now that I'm in the association of devotees, I'm thinking so differently. I'm thinking, what a wonderful opportunity Krishna has given me now that I can leave this world in the association of devotees. So asat sanga tyage Vaishnava. When we're with worldly people, they'll tell you, you see, if you believed in God, why have you caught this disease? But the same thing when we're with devotees, they'll say, what an opportunity. You're with devotees and you leave this world in their company. So he said, I'm so grateful being with Krishna, and I'm so grateful to Prabhupada and the Acharyas for this great thing. So just as a note, tomorrow is Bank Holiday Monday, and tomorrow we're celebrating and observing 84th birthday of Mother Kalangana. She's not here, that's why we can say it. So we're observing her, it's actually on Tuesday, her actual birthday, which is an Ekadashi as well. So we have a great program at the Bhakti Center in Hara from 10 till 1 with a feast there being served. So, and you invite all the devotees, please come and join us there, whatever time you have, and we'll celebrate the association of Mother Kalangana there. So you can come and join us for that. Equally, Tomorrow evening, we have His Holiness Lokanath Swami here at the manor with bhajans from 6 o'clock till 9:30. Tomorrow evening here at the manor. So Lokanath Swami is here with us. So I'm sure he'll be speaking something, but you know, we'll have great... So don't worry about not going to Birmingham, because he will be here. We'll have great kirtan from 6 till all the way till 10. And then on Tuesday morning, he's giving the Bhagavatam class as well. And finally, last but not least, as you all know, in the council meeting just a week or 10 days ago, the final planning permission, because which we required for building the Haveli, which is the Section 106, which is to do with noise and traffic, that was agreed, and that agreement, the village was happy, the council was happy, and we had to become happy with that as well. So a unanimous decision was reached, which means that now we are progressing towards building the Haveli. And in the next 3 or 4 months, all our plans will be together, and hopefully we'll begin by September. We have to. And we want to complete in 15 months. So Gopanim of 2018, we want to open the Sri Krishna Haveli. And it will require help from everyone. If you have any ideas, our fundraising coordinator is Sundarananda Prabhu, sitting there. You can give him some ideas and thoughts. Otherwise, any other talent that you have in putting this hall together, and the Haveli will be a great thing, but it will mean 2 years of disruption here, because they start work at 8 in the morning, so even when the class is going on, Monday to Friday, noise, a lot of traffic, all of these things for 2 years. But then once it's finished, wonderful building, will have a welcome center, 2 amazing halls, we don't have to be cramped up here, for 800 people in each, with a stage and so on, and of course everything within the building. So great facilities for kirtan, for festivals, for programs that we'll have. So a lot happening. And anything else from, anything else to announce from the book distribution, or anything else from the ladies' side? Then we are already very late on this. My thanks to all of you for staying and listening to a few words from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Bhaktavinda ki, Gaura Premanandini.